Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest,
your hermitage of the heart,
your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the stormy life that we live in. Storms inside the church, outside the church.
In our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our families.
Yeah, in our hearts and our minds, yeah.
Storms everywhere.
Yeah, so all of these questions we have today are from a group studying spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits, which is I think the most popular book I've written so far. Probably Navigating the Interior Life is still sold more, but it's been out since 2011. Mm-hmm. But Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits. And we also have a film series coming up soon. What?
Your feet.
Oh, am I moving too much again?
You're stomping your feet.
I'm sorry. We have a film series coming up soon in June. So if you're interested in a film series that will be no cost to you, very high cost to us, that you can use for your parishes and small groups.
I'm excited about this one getting out.
Yeah.
I'm excited about all of them, and I love what's happening with Into the Deep.
Yeah.
But super excited about this. It's so needed. And,
yeah.
And I think probably like almost no Catholics are, you know, it's just the percentage is very small that actually study this, understand it, and employ it in their day to day.
Right.
It's a game changer.
It is. And that's not an exaggeration.
Mm-mm.
So if you are interested in getting early access to that series, go subscribe to spiritualdirection.com, and then you'll get a notice when it comes out. So you want to start, or you want me to start? What do you want to do?
You're running this.
I'm running the show. Why don't you read the first question?
Okay. I have a close family member that is stuck in rule number one. They continually commit the same mortal sin over and over again. The devil has them hooked. This person regularly uses the sacraments of confession and receiving the Eucharist, but can't overcome this addiction. My wife and I pray regularly for their change of heart and conversion. What else can we do to help our loved one?
Yeah, I know you'll have some insight on this. So just to give context, they're talking about the first 14 rules of discernment authored by St. Ignatius. The first rule is about how the demons work and the angels work when a person is going from mortal sin to mortal sin. So when they say they have a family member stuck in rule one, it means they're stuck in mortal sin. And in that, even though they're participating in the sacraments, they are still stuck. So, you know, there's a couple things. One, I would see if they'd be willing to pray the Angelus three times a day, 6, noon, and 6, which is a very powerful spiritual warfare prayer. Right now would be the Regina Caeli. And that's something that they can do that could help them. Two, daily mental prayer. If they're not practicing mental prayer, it's not likely they'll overcome this. You know, these are just foundational practices that we must use to overcome sin. Three would be study of discernment of spirits. The reason for that, in the Ignatian sense, the reason for that is that you, when you study discernment of spirits and practice it, usually desolation precedes temptation to sin. And desolation is defined as any movement of the heart to low and earthly things, to the opposite of faith, hope, and love, which is doubt, despair, and narcissism. And when the heart is moved that way, there are specific things Ignatius teaches that can help you combat that assault, if you will, so that you don't, because usually what they'll do is oppress you with desolation, and then when you're oppressed, they will suggest that you commit the sins they've seen you commit 1,000 times or whatever. So these are three very powerful things. I'm sure you could add something to those.
Okay. Well, what strikes me, first of all, is praise be to God. The loved one is using the sacrament of confession and receiving the Eucharist, because confession is greater than exorcism. So it helps predispose our heart and then receiving the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah. More powerful. Close family member. So the question would be, is, are they a child under the age of 18 for males? Mm-hmm. So if they're under 18 and they're a male child, then the husband and wife still have the spiritual authority to command, to bind and to drive out the spirit of affliction, of addiction, of whatever this is. I'm going to, I'm just going to jump in here and make an assumption that maybe it's pornography, because we hear about this a lot. So let's just say it is pornography. And so this is a husband and a wife could get together and pray against that addiction of pornography, from their son, if he's under age 18. If it's a female, a daughter, they have that authority until she's married. So, wow, like that leaves a lot of years to work with, depending on, how late they get married. So that's one thing. The other thing is addiction tends to have a handle to it. So addiction tends to come out of some sort of woundedness, some sort of unforgiveness, something in that individual from their past, could be from their childhood, something that they were exposed to, that was done to them, that they were party to, that they were afflicted by, or whatever. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, or a tragedy, or a witness of something horrible. So the enemy uses that woundedness to create a handle for the addiction. And so then in that, whatever that addiction is, they're feeling the adrenaline, the endorphins that come from caving into that, and it gives them a temporary reprieve from the pain that they're dealing with that they probably don't know is there. That's another piece of this puzzle. What are some of the resources that you can use if you have a family member in this state? Well, outside of deliverance prayers. So there's deliverance prayers for the laity. That's that black book that's published out there. There's also an exorcism app called Catholic Exorcism. And it's put out by the St. Michael Center. It has prayers for the laity that a husband and wife can pray for the individual, even if it's siblings too. And this is the other thing, is if it's your siblings, you can also pray for them with a lot of power and success. So you've got the deliverance prayers for the laity. You can fast for that individual. I love Our Lady of Sorrows, combining her novena with fasting, super, super powerful. And then the other thing is to deal with the woundedness. If you don't have access to some really great healing prayer, there's the organization of the JP2 Healing Institute. So things like their book called Be Healed, their conferences called, Healing the Whole Person, really can start to help move and make room for grace that needs to come in to help with the healing of the individual. So addiction's a terrible one. Because if they could just will themselves out of it, they would.
Yeah.
And so there's something underneath that's holding on there. Last thing that I'll mention, because it is a real thing that needs to be dealt with. If there's any kind of Freemasonry in the family line, that does need to be renounced and ratified by a priest so that it's gone. And it has a tremendous hold on families, and we're seeing a lot of it come up in those that are dealing with deliverance ministry. So there's a lot to do there. Lots of movement forward of things that you can do, and using sacramentals, of course.
Yeah, I think one last thing I'll say about this, because it's so common, is the rule of three. We call it the rule of three. And that is that when a person seeks to overcome a particular sin three times with all of their effort and energy that they can muster and all the wisdom they can muster and all of the safeguards, whatever it is, and you don't succeed, that means you cannot succeed by yourself.
Mm-hmm. You need help.
You need help. And that doesn't mean you need to take a class and become smarter. It doesn't mean you need to read a book and become wiser. It means you are unable, with all the information in the world, whatever you're doing, to get yourself free. You know, it reminds me of a statement from God the Father through St. Catherine of Siena, that I've created you in such a way that you are incapable in and of yourself to get to heaven. And a lot of us like to be bootstrappers, especially if you're older American. You know, it's very much
or
a value,
or do that to our kids.
Sure.
And it's just not a it's not a way to love.
Just stop.
Yeah, just stop. Work. Cut it out. You're better than this. You can do this. It's not. I mean, if they could, they wouldn't be in the situation they are.
Yeah.
And we need to help. We need to be that bridge, help, understanding, compassionate, and help them find a way through. And it's going to take investing yourselves into the mess of that problem.
Yeah.
You can't just keep rolling down the highway and pretend that if you give it 5 minutes a week and yell at your top of your lungs or lecture that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's not happening in this family, obviously, but you see way too much of that.
We have a free course available on overcoming habitual sin at apostoliviae.org. It's apostoliviae.org, free course for overcoming habitual sin. When we get back from the break, we'll jump into how the enemy watches us day and night without rest. He learns our sins and weaknesses and how to deal with that. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about oppression and discernment of spirits and harassment and all that. So I'll read this rule since you read the first one. I mean, this question. In your book, under Rule 14, you state that the enemy watches you day and night without rest, for he needs no rest. He learns your sins, your weaknesses, etc. Sometimes in our dreams, we do and think about things that are wakeful, rational minds would quickly reject and abhor. We wake up disturbed and then relieved that it isn't real. These nightmares feel as if they are managing, as if they are not in our control. But Satan's, we utilize good success. With good success, many of your tips and advice for managing spiritual warfare during our conscious and rational hours. But in dreams, we don't seem to have much control. Do you have any warfare tips for our subconscious minds?
Oh, wow. Well, this is timely because I had a horrible nightmare last night, and God forbid, I was the dream, and I'll just share what it was. I was in a church, and somebody hollered that there was an active shooter, And it was super, super vivid for me.
Yikes.
So much so that I was like helping people, and we were all running towards away from the shooter to hide, back and behind a piano of all things. I could feel everything, and you know, very, very vivid. So, you know, obviously what's going on there, there's violence, there's threat, there's death, you know, all of those things. And, you know, I recently came out of deliverance ministry. So I was like, oh, I've got slimed, you know, I need some extra prayer from my priest to get this off of me. Well, you know, I'm not inviting that in. I'm not asking for it. It's not part of my conscious mind during the day. That was afflicted on me last night. And I've had other dreams before, even though I don't dream much. And so when that happens, we need not worry. Number one, we need not worry. So when we have weird dreams or whatever, you know, I think it's helpful to kind of discern a little bit about like what kind of was afflicting me there, and then just pray against it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce any and all afflictions and violence and spirits of violence or death or whatever in the particular one that I was dealing with. And in the name of Jesus, please fill me with faith, hope, love, and peace. And I surrender this to your will. If it's about a particular person, I might pray for that person, right? So the enemy doesn't, he can inspire our dreams, because if we know by St. Ignatius that the enemy can, you know, suggest thoughts, can put thoughts into our minds, things that are contrary to God's will, things that invoke fear or despair or whatever it is, any kind of doubt, despair, narcissism, then we can pray against it the same way and just surrender it to the Lord. If it's consistent, if it happens a lot and we can't, it turns into being kind of an affliction where it keeps repeating itself over and over, I'd probably go do a really great confession. I'd put some holy salt around my room, around the whole, you know, perimeter of the room, put it around the house, use some holy water before I go to bed and pray my rosary. Usually, you know, I know a number of exorcist priests that they keep their rosary right there on their nightstand, and they often go to sleep with their rosary going, because that provides spiritual coverage through Our Lady.
There's a prayer in our prayer book. Do you have it over there? The producer looked like he was going to pull it up.
Punishing prayer for sleep.
Punishing prayer for sleep. Can they hear you on the radio now?
Yeah, they can hear me.
Why don't you say it? I was just going to repeat it from memory. Go ahead.
Lord Jesus Christ, I ask thee that from now on until I fall asleep, while I sleep and during my dreams, that if any evil spirit tries to affect me, that thou would punish him by making him focus on the thing that causes him the most pain during the entire time he tries to affect me and for 10 minutes more. I also ask thee not to allow him to retaliate, in Jesus' most powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where did you get that?
I pray it every night.
No, but so, right. But do you know where? I mean, I don't know if I wrote that, or
is that from your prayer book? Or?
No, I have a note of prayer. I pray the prayer against retaliation was the other one I was going to mention.
Can you publish that at the bottom of this post? Sure. On the EWTN live stream?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I mean, just any prayer like that. You don't even have, it doesn't have to be, you know, we're not witches. They don't, the prayers don't have to be exact.
Yeah. We don't believe in, you know,
it's not sort of counter magic.
Mm-mm. Just use the Lord's name.
Yeah. Ask in the name of the Lord that the if it's demonic, that the enemy be that's oppressing you would be punished by requiring him to think about the thing that causes him the most pain for 10 minutes, and that he'd be sent to the foot of the cross to be dealt with. Yeah. And then that there, a key point too on that is not to allow any retaliation as well.
Yeah. So be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting. You know what? Do you know where I found that prayer, by the way? So mm-hmm. After the first exorcism we were in.
No.
It was
when we served in exorcism ministry. Yeah.
It was after the first one. And this was, we were not, you know, lay people can't perform exorcisms. Of course, we were assisting a priest, but the first meeting disturbed me. Well, they all were disturbing, but after I prayed that, never had issues again.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful prayer.
Okay.
All right.
Next question.
I would go to 4.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Yeah, whatever you want is fine.
Okay. Where does complacency fit in the consolation desolation cycle?
Yeah, so rule number four in the rules is what is desolation? And St. Ignatius uses terms like tepid, sad, I can't remember, certain similar words like that.
Downcast.
Yeah. Well, you can use synonyms that like that. He didn't use that word, but there are synonyms that are properly applied. So
slothful would be another one.
Yeah. So that word, and where is that? I've lost it.
Number four.
Oh, right.
Where does complacency fit in the consolation desolation cycle?
So it is desolation. Complacency is desolation.
It's a type of it. Yeah.
Because it keeps you from doing the right thing. It's I think the best synonym, you said it, is sloth, which is the disinclination to do a spiritual good. It's a simple question with a simple answer. Complacency is desolation, and you have to fight it by when it comes. Usually it's going to come and try to attack a spiritual commitment that you made when you were in consolation. And
so it's rule number six is what you employ.
Rule number five is never change.
Right.
But then you're right. Rule number six is that you should come against that complacency, which is hard.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel like it doing that. It feels heavy.
The enemy would love for you not to feel like doing anything.
Right.
He's happy if you sit on your couch with a bag of chips and your remote control.
Yeah.
Facebook. Right. So don't do that.
Or YouTube. Yeah.
Don't do that. Push against it.
So which are the most important rules among the 14 given by St. Ignatius for discernment in the first set of rules?
Okay. And one thing, you can also renounce complacency in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and
you
Lord,
can.
And Lord Jesus, in your mercy, give me a spirit of fervency. Give me energy. Give me, perseverance.
By the way, if you're interested in this subject before you answer the question, we do have a free mini course, digital mini course in Apostoli Viae, where we, Stephanie and I, go through Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits book. You can also take a course that I teach at the Avila Institute called Discernment of Spirits 101. So if this is interesting to you and you think it'll help you, check those courses out. So back to the question, what are the most important rules among the four discernment that Ignatius gives?
Okay. So I'll give it a shot and then you can add whatever you want. So the number one rule that you never, ever, ever, ever forget, is, number five.
Yeah.
When in desolation, never make a change.
I've never heard a disagreement, by the way,
no,
that's the most important rule.
And it's a spiritual change or to a spiritual commitment.
Yeah.
I would tell you, I can't think of any change other than whether you're going to use oat milk or almond milk that you would make a change on anything. You just really, you're not in a good state. You are doubting, despairing, narcissistic, you're downcast, you're tepid, you're anxious, all kinds of stuff going on.
Inclined away from God.
Really. Inclined away from God. So why would you trust any of your decisions at that point? For me, you wait until desolation passes through the other means that we're going to talk about, before you make a decision. And I believe to the core of my being that 99.9% of the decision to divorce someone, to leave them or whatever, happens in a state of desolation. And we all know the fallout of that. So after rule number five, the next most important rule is number six. So when you are in desolation, you pray more, you push against more, you persevere, you hold fast. And so that means if you have a commitment to pray the rosary, you add an extra decade. If you've got a commitment to do a holy hour, stay an hour and 5 minutes or stay an hour and 15. If you have a commitment to go to Mass, get in your car and go to Mass, whatever it is, continue on that path and then add just a little bit more against the desolation. And then rule 13 is to shine a light on it. And that means you reach out to a holy friend, to your spiritual director, to your spouse that's walking along with you somewhere on the path, and ask them to pray for you and to let, you know, just to let them know I'm in a state of desolation. Please pray for me. And you do that, you know, and it helps lift it because it causes the enemy to flee.
Yeah. So I would agree with two of those rules being the most important. Six is very important. I would put it in the top, but the top two is, and this is more, this is pretty universally agreed upon, though you don't, you know, if you like one or the other, it's fine. Rule 5 and 13, mm-hmm. which Stephanie mentioned. Rule 5 is never make a change when you're in desolation to the spiritual commitments you made while you're in consolation. Rule 13, I won't speak the whole rule because it's complex, but it basically says that the enemy likes to work in secret. And when you expose him to a holy person, he's dissuaded. You know, demons can be dissuaded. They can be harmed. They can be, encouraged. They can be encouraged, I mean, to do a harmful thing. The translation I like to use for that rule is that the enemy is like a dangerous dog who, you know, if you turn and run, you're in trouble. But if you face them down, you're likely to win the conflict. So rather than turning and running. So anyway, we're out of time. But check out my book, Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits, also the free class on ApostleEVA or .org, or the, you know, you can pay for a course at the Abel Institute.
Or the upcoming film series.
Upcoming film series that subscribe at spiritualdirection.com.
Okay. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.